on the WISL stations is brought to you by Victor Chevrolet and Victor Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
It's Chicago. I think that's called Beginnings, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. From the early 70s.
And actually, from 1970.
We've got three studio freaks in the studio today. We've got myself, Nozzle.
Hi, all.
Hi. You are?
Nozzle. I mean, no. Wait a minute. No, I'm not Nozzle. I'm the other one. Superstar.
And Dave Kasperson from Dynamic.
Joe Biden here.
Jeez. I'm Dynamic Dave, thank you.
Dynamic Dave. All right, man. So, yeah, we're going to talk today with him about the inside scoop. What happens inside the studio? What are some of the misconceptions, outtakes, meltdowns, and stories? Right?
Yes, and there are many, but I have to be careful what I say on the air.
Yeah, we have the bleep. You know, noise. We can always bleep out explicatives, things like that.
Explicatives? Is that like an affricative obscenity?
Do you have... Are you queuing up something there? Ah, yes. Oh, yeah. The timeout rim shots. We've got a tidbit and a comparoscope for you, but let's get right down to brass tacks. Dave, how have you been?
I'm good, thank you. And how are you two guys?
Great, super terrific.
Super terrific.
Let's introduce you to the audience in case they haven't heard you on the previous shows. Where are you from originally? Where'd you grow up?
Rockin' Rochester.
All right, man. When did you start Dynamic Recording Studios?
1975.
And you are located... Were you located on Dewey Avenue then?
We've been there the whole time. 2844 Dewey Avenue.
Awesome. And what was the first record produced in your studio? I know you made a record, but I think you produced that somewhere else.
Yes, I made a record in 1960 at Lifetime Recordings. Our band, The Tempest, went in and did Rockin' Rochester, USA, which never became a hit, but it's been re-recorded over a dozen times and released over a dozen times all over the world. It has a cult following. It's very interesting.
And there's a great video of you doing that a few years ago, right?
At Photo Improv, yes. They had a Rockin' Rochester weekend. It was dynamite to go there. I did it with the High Risers, who play it all the time.
Yeah, it's a fun video to watch. You're the lead singer, right?
I wasn't in The Tempest. I was lead guitar. I wrote the song, and I did the screams in the background vocals. Ken Stewart did the lead. So the night that I did it at Photo, I was very nervous because I'd never sung it before.
You sounded great. It's awesome.
Thank you.
So back in that day, you were recording stuff live in the studio. I mean, there was none of this, like the digital things where you're doing little tracks and adding things and stacking things.
That's true, and we still do. Dynamic Recording believes in live, real, the magic of real musicians doing real music all together. The first session I did, you asked about, was a group from Canandaigua called Roadbones, and they were six members. And, you know, first night in the studio, brand new, I'm going, wow, can I handle this many people? Now, I had worked at Lifetime Recordings, so I was used to doing recording, but it was a real challenge. They were good. They were great kids, and it was a lot of fun.
So Roadbones?
Roadbones from Canandaigua. I don't think so. After all these years, a lot of the groups have disappeared and gone to other states and whatever, and I've lost track of a lot of them.
We want to give you as much time as possible today, because you said before we started recording, the last time you gave me a minute and a half to tell a story. So can you give us a sense of what goes on behind the scenes? What don't we know? What are the dirty little secrets that happen in an audio recording studio?
What goes on behind the scenes when you've got a live band and real people doing real music, especially ones that they wrote it themselves? It becomes magic. It's a beautiful experience. There are nights in the control room when I and the other engineers would get super high on the music. It would be so beautiful. No drugs, no booze, just the music itself. And I'd go home and I'd actually crash some nights because the bands were so great and you felt, I'm really a big part of this. And when you're an engineer at a recording studio and the band does not have a producer, and most bands don't, then the engineer becomes the producer. You become part of the band. And it's exciting, it's fun, and it's a beautiful life. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Kind of like George Martin, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, George Martin.
Well, you mentioned you got high without drugs or alcohol. I was watching an interview with Pat Metheny, one of my favorite jazz guitarists. And, you think of these people as being... high on drugs and booze and things like that. I mean, not necessarily Pat. I don't want to, paint him with that brush. But he says he's never tried it. Never tried, never drank, never tried drugs. And every night after a gig, he has three or four pages of journal entries about how, what went wrong, what went right, what they can do again, what they don't want to do again. And he also said, just as long as I'm talking, he says he discovered that he plays better when he's hungry. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, very interesting. I never heard that before.
So he doesn't have anything until after the show.
Yeah. Well, when some sessions would go on for 6, 7, 8 hours, and you really get into it, you don't take a break, and you don't care about eating. Mm-hmm. It's just it becomes such a great experience. And like I said, the magic that happens amongst musicians and what goes on in a studio, it's a very magic, beautiful place.
So right. I mean, there's a lot of adrenaline kicking in, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 There were nights when we would do it. Like, when you have to do a punch-in, back when we had analog tape, 24-track, reel-to-reel, a punch-in, and say the bass player misses a couple of notes. So you have the bass player listen to what he played on his headphones, and when you get to where the bad notes are, he's playing along. You punch in, you energize the track, and it erases what he had done before and puts down the brand new. Back on analog tape, the engineer had to really know what they were doing. And so there were nights when you would do a punch in, especially on a vocal track, where you'd actually get applause. I mean, you'd say, wow, this was great. Now, if you missed it, then you were in trouble.
You didn't get applause then, I guess.
There was no undo back in those days like there is today.
Why don't we go ahead and, unless you have any questions that are super stiff, we'll do the tidbit. We'll come back to talk to Dave Casperson from Dynamic Recording Studio. Dynamic Dave.
Here's the latest timeout tidbit.
This is another tidbit on the Timeout Radio Show, and today we've got Lisa with tidbits in the studio. What are you cooking up for us this week, Lisa?
Well, I wanted to tell you about another little village visit I went to with you. So let's talk about Caledonia, New York.
Let's do it. We just did it this week.
Yep.
It's a nice little town. We should tell the listeners we started out with good intentions to go to what's the name of that place? The
Genesee Country Museum.
Genesee Country Museum, which is in Mumford. And then we had to stop, do the obligatory stop at the Main Street Cafe in Mendon, and I got a latte and got fired up, and we were heading through Avon, and I saw a 1957 four-door Cadillac on a trailer, so we stopped in there, messed around in there for a while. And then
I think that set the mood for the day, don't you?
It did. It really did. You know, it just like we had a free ticket to do whatever we wanted. We were freestyling at that point. So in no particular hurry, right?
Right.
And when we left there, we made it as far as Caledonia, I believe was our next stop, right?
That's right.
We got out and saw a nice looking restaurant or two, mm-hmm. and we were a little bit peckish at that point. So we parked the car, and you want to talk about the mural at all?
Oh.
The
giant mural on the side of the building, which made you think you were inside an aquarium.
It was huge, yeah, like the classic, the trout under the stream, and really beautifully done. The entire side of an old brick building has been done up there, and I think that's one wall of the diner that we ate in, right?
Yes, and I now realize the connection why they put the fish there, because one of the attractions for families in Caledonia is the fish hatchery.
Yes, which we did not go to.
Yeah, but I've been by before.
That's another nice place to go. It's fun. Yeah.
Yep. So then we parked in the lot, decided we would just kind of ramble, explore, and I want to recommend antique people go to Caledonia. We stopped in a couple different antique stores, and did you find any treasures?
I don't think I did. But I was focused on what I had found back in Avon, and you know, I don't want to get into that because I don't want to disclose all my honey holes. But
so one thing I think that makes Caledonia unique, when you're coming into town, there's three different roads and in a small traffic circle with a monument on the top. So you know you're in downtown Caledonia when you go there. A couple things that I think people should definitely check out is, do you remember the library? It was an old apothecary. And it's made out of stones.
Yeah.
That was right across from the antique store we went into.
Yeah.
And I have to say, the people in the antique stores were really friendly, because I asked one I've talked about upcycling fabric before, and I went into an antique store, and she had a couple vintage pieces of clothing, but then she recommended a nice shop. It's called Creative Edge, and they have repurposed craft items. So anyone out there into any kind of craft, not just fabrics, but knitting, I think she has an A to Z list of all the items that she carries.
Yeah, one thing I noticed, too, was there was a section that a couple of people were looking, digging into that had materials for making, well, they had beads and things like that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Beading is quite beading. A big hobby now. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And I've forgotten what she said is the next big thing, but it has something to do with wool and making looped rugs or something with wool, which I'm going to have to check into to see. But I put it on my list to go back to, so I will definitely be going back to Caledonia.
Excellent. Well, thanks for that tidbit, Lisa. One other thing. On the way back, we were thinking of going to the Fox Farm Antiques, which is a nice big old barn. And I just brought it up on the wiki here. It's at 4127 Telephone Road in Caledonia, which is kind of just west of Avon. And unfortunately, it was closed the day we went there. But we need to go back there at some point.
Definitely.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Yep.
Thanks.
See ya.
So that's Lisa with another tidbit about our trip to, what was it, Caledonia. Yeah, it's a good place to visit. So we're going to go sell some washing powder, something in a big orange box. Come back and talk to Dave Kasperson about the outtakes, the stories, inside scoops of having a music recording studio.
On the WYSL stations, 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM West, AM 1040, and online at WYSL1040.com.
As the weather changes, it's a great time to step up to a new ride from Victor Chevrolet. Now, lease a 2022 Chevy Trailblazer LT all-wheel drive for just $239 a month for 36 months.
$2,500 cash or trade required.
If you need a pickup, get the versatility of a 2022 Chevy Silverado Custom LTD Crew Cab for just $399 a month for 36 months.
$2,500 cash or trade at closing.
And then, there's the 22 Chevy Equinox all-wheel drive LT, only $229 a month for 36 months.
$2,500 cash or trade equity. Closing.
And don't forget, Victor Chevrolet has an unbeatable pre-owned selection. Whether you drive a Chevy or not, trust your vehicle to our Chevy Certified Service Department. Come see how easy it is to do business with us. Find new roads at Victor Chevrolet, Route 96 in Victor.
Visit VictorChevrolet.com.
These lease deals include return and lessee rebate. All factory rebates, incentives, and discounts are applied. Security deposit is waived. 10,000 mile allowance per year, 25 cents each additional mile. Must have lease and household. Tier 1 credit approval required. Lessee responsible for repair and maintenance. Conditions apply. Get details at dealer.
There's a place in the village of Avon you and your critters will love. Whether they're big or small, whether they've got hair, fur, or feathers, Avon Feed fits every need. There's a full selection of pet foods, bird feeders, and wild bird food, plus garden tools, quality grass seed, and a great selection of dry-shod boots. Buy 10 bags of quality wild bird food, get the next bag free. Choose farm feeds and great equine products from Poland Grains. Find everything for your pet from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has what the big pet chain stores will never have, Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. Choose from premium local products like Firefly, Dairy, Goat soaps, and lotions. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget your two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including the new 12-year-old cheddar, plus Chef James bourbon meat sauce, once again nut butters and Nunday mustards. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4, Avon Feed and Supply. West Main Street at the bottom of the hill, just west of the circle.
Inside the Taylor Laboratories.
Hey, Tony. What you doing?
A little experiment, Zach. Look what I have under the microscope.
Ugh, what's that?
A sample of indoor air.
How can it be that dirty? Don't AC and furnace filters help?
Only with dust, Zach. But when Taylor installs a whole house APCO air purifier to detox the air, odors, chemicals, mold, bacteria, and viruses are removed.
For clean indoor air.
Yep. Ain't science awesome?
Taylor. Fire. 800 HELP.
Has your favorite pizza place been letting you down? Try Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery in Avon. Not only is their pizza amazing, but their full menu and bakery has something for everyone. Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery, Avon.
The WYSL store has great items, including Time Out Radio Show t-shirts. These are high-quality cotton t-shirts and printed locally. Visit WYSL1040.com and click on the store link. WYSL.
Time Out Radio Show on the WYSL stations.
Let this one run a little bit. I don't know if Dave's heard it. I'm a big Glenn Campbell fan. This is something he came out with. It's a U2 song. Listen to this one.
You want diamonds on a ring of gold. You say you want your story to remain untold.
Just wanted to make sure Dave heard that. It's a really nice rendition. And when you know about the ending of Glenn Campbell's long career, I don't know. I get kind of choked up listening to it because I love his voice. And yeah, he was still out there. Music was one of the last things that left him. I think it was so deeply ingrained in him that, you know, the family would push him out there into the light and he'd still be able to remember the lyrics, play the notes. And, you know, it's a deep experience, as you were saying before.
Glenn was amazing. Do you know he was a member of the Wrecking Crew? That's how he got his start.
Yeah. The Champs, too.
Yeah, many people, yeah. Yeah, it was great.
So we're going to let you right off the leash today, Dave. You got the next 30 minutes to just wax poetic, give us stories, inside scoop, whatever you want to do.
Well, I'd like to start out by talking about a group called Amy's Wish. And Amy's Wish, the leader of the group and the guy who writes the songs, Ira Camp, lives in Ithaca with his wife, Marnie. And they came to me because they heard me on WYSL. And they liked what they heard, and Ira called me and he said, "We've decided we're going to record with you." So I want to talk about Amy's Wish. They're a fabulous group. How it came about, Amy Schnitzer was a young lady who was on her way to become an opera singer. She was doing really well from Rochester. And at 30 years old, she got breast cancer and passed. And it was really sad. And her father is the drummer in a band, Gary. And he got together with Ira, their old friends. Now, all the members in the band are in Rochester except Ira and his wife, Marty. So they came in, and we started out, and we recorded five songs. And this is all by Amy, and all the money that they make and the band does is going to the Cancer Society. It's all being channeled through to that. But what was interesting in this is every song that they've recorded so far, and we've done 16 of them so far, everyone, to me, has got hit potential. Ira is an amazing songwriter. He's just amazing. And we were talking about emotion and stuff. Some of the songs are so good that I would cry during the sessions. I mean, they're so deep. And about Amy, a young girl that died way too young, you know. So I don't have anything ready to play yet, but you can go to amyswish.net, and we've got two of the songs mixed so far, and they're up on it. And they're a great group, and they're looking for work. And they can be hired through the studio. You can call me at Dynamic Recording.
Do you want to jump on here and see if I can find those?
Yeah, sure.
You can, amyswish.net.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And you can reach Dynamic Dave at 585-621-6270 or Dave at dynamicrecording.com.
I'm sorry, it's amyswish.net?
.net, yeah.
And Dave's been busy. He brought in a stack of CDs that he's been producing since the last time we saw him, maybe 6 or 8 months ago.
Can I talk about a couple of them?
Yes, please do.
Well, the last time we were in, we were talking about Putin's War, which we just released, and the money from Putin's War is going to help the situation in Ukraine. This was written by Paulius Klimas, who is a Lithuanian, who originally was in Lithuania when Putin invaded Lithuania years ago. Another one we talked about last time, Jeff Riles, who's done a lot of albums with us, wrote A Sharp Knife and a Gun, and this has just been released too. And they're all available. You can go to dynamicrecording.com and look at them and hear the songs. And this, again, we're giving the money away. This is all about guns in the schools. And Jeff's latest CD, which I just received a few days ago, I brought in, that he put out, is called Mama Waved at Elvis. And that's available. It'll be up in all the digital distributions in a few days. And it's a true story. His mother lived lived in Memphis, Tennessee, and Elvis drove by one day in his brand new pink Cadillac, slowed down and winked at her and waved, and she waved back.
Awesome.
So Jeff wrote the song, and it's really cute. It's, and all his songs are great. Jeff's in right now. We're going to do 12 new songs that he's written. He's a great songwriter and a lot of fun to work with. Good guitar player, good singer.
Now, what is the problem? You were talking before we started recording. What are the challenges of a good musician who lives in Rochester? I mean, a lot of people have left Rochester in order to make it big. What is the block? Why don't people? What's wrong with Rochester? Why don't they appreciate local music? We do have the bleep noise.
The big problem that I see, and I've talked about this before, when Dave Casper's in and the Tempest went into Lifetime Recordings and released Rock and Rochester USA in 1960, we went to all the radio stations in Rochester, and they all turned us down. And my good friend Chuck Mangione, who I'm the webmaster for, also did his first recording in 1958, and the radio stations turned him down. And that hasn't changed. Radio in Rochester has never supported music. To get a hit, you've got to be on the air round the clock, played repeatedly for at least a month, and talked about. That's the only way you're going to get a hit. Rochester has never done it. They'll play somebody's song once in a while, give it one shot. That doesn't do you any good at all.
And now with the corporate takeover of the pop music stations by these giant groups, a lot of the music decisions aren't even made in Rochester.
Right. And actually, I don't think they ever were. The DJs didn't have any say. It was all, even back in 1960, it was corporate that told them who could play what. The interesting thing is, after Chuck Mangione left Rochester and became a megastar, then Rochester started playing his stuff.
My first radio gig was at WRUR when it was, not connected to NPR, the NPR stations. And, it's a college radio station, so I would bring in things that kind of loosely fit into the classical genre. And I used to get calls from the program director, who's still alive and kicking. He said, "What are you playing? What are you playing that for?" And this also happened at WITR, where it's a college station, and I bring in my own stuff. Don't play that. Play the new stuff that's come in. Like, says who? Why? It's just so. Maybe it's just
my programming days. We used to have a phrase. It was like the biggest tune out in top 40 radio. This is now in the 1960s and 1970s. Biggest tune out is an unfamiliar record.
Say that again. I missed it.
The biggest tune out is an unfamiliar record. They want to hear the hits.
Oh, I see. I gotcha. Yeah.
We have Amy's Wish up here. Do you want to hear Key of Me?
Can you play a little bit? Yeah, that's sure. The only one that we've actually released so far.
All right. Here we go. This is Amy's Wish Key.
Question. Is this off of Dave's website, or where did you find this?
This is the website I did for Amy's Wish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
We were a song, sung with harmony. Our future was laid out as far as we could see. Then something happened, a dissonance between you and me. The sun changed to rain, the fog filled our minds. Our joy turned to pain, a lap became a cry. Our love was a symphony that changed to the key of me.
We were a song with harmony. Our future was laid out, far as we could see. Dissonance between you and me. The sun changed to rain, and a fog filled our mind. Our joy turned to pain.
So what's the name of that track there, Superstar?
Let's say it's Key of Mean.
And it's that's Al Puccini on the vocals and Marnie O'Shea singing on the vocals. Frank Weiner is on the bass. Ira Kemp is guitar, and he wrote it. And Bill Tindall is doing the keyboards. Gary Schwichner, who is Amy's father, is on the drums.
They're very nice. By the way, the program director is on the line for you. Should I pick up?
Yeah, go ahead.
He wants to.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep up with you guys. Right. Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know. We've probably talked about him offline.
See, it's not hard to get airplay here, Dave Casperson, at WYSL. We just pull it up and play it.
Bob and Jeff, I appreciate you guys. I really do.
Well, we appreciate you. Talk a little bit about song structure. You've been in the business, like, you know, for umpteen years. And, you know, I know you've got, like, that sounded like a, for lack of a better term, I'm not a musician, but kind of like a 12-bar thing. And then you repeat the 12-bar thing, and then they've got what they call a middle eight, and then you come back to the head or the 12-bar. Can you talk about the song structure, like what structures work? You know, if somebody comes in, they've written their own song, and you do you tell them, oh, gee, that's not going to work because it's kind of unusual, or do you accept unusual? Or
we accept. I love unusual. There are no rules of dynamic recording. When you come in, we record you the way you want to be recorded. Now, if I feel you're really doing something wrong, we'll talk about it. But the customer is right. And most people that come in, especially ones who have written a song, it's from their hearts, and they know what they're doing. Everything you said is true, you left out the bridge. Bridge is very important as well.
Okay. So tell us about the bridge.
Well, that's the part that it takes you up and over and into the end of the song. Then the bridge, like Bridge Over Troubled Waters, he had a hard time. Paul had a hard time writing the bridge. And when he got home, his girlfriend at the time said something about silver hair coming into her hair. The first time she saw silver in her hair, and he goes,
Sail on, silver girl.
Yeah, that's how they came about. That's how they finished the song. Yeah.
So okay.
Anything works.
When I hear that, I'm listening, you know, well, I might be listening to the instruments. I might be listening to vocals, depending on what the song is. But what do you hear? Because you're like a pro. So you're like the doctor, you know. So what do you hear when you hear a song?
Things pop into my head. It just happens. You're listening to the music intently, and you're recording, and things just pop in. It happens. I don't know how or why, but it does. That's part of this business. Al Schmidt's one of the top engineers in the world. He passed away about a year and a half ago. Al Schmidt had 140 golds and platinums and 23 Grammys, and he thinks he's going to get one more Grammy for the last thing he did for Dylan before he passed. And Bob, Al Schmidt would say, you place the mics, you listen to the band, you don't worry about EQ or compression, you go back in the control room and you listen, and when it sounds the same in the control room as it sounds out in the room, you've got it. Mm. And he must have known what he was doing with 140 golds.
I'm thinking,
and
yeah.
Well, then what is the story when you hear artists, I guess I won't mention any names, but, you know, when they record live and then they, you know, they say they mixed the album. What are they really doing?
Well, you always need to mix. When you're recording a band, for example, we always do a minimum of 8 microphones on the drum kit. Each drum gets its own mic.
Wow.
Each, the cymbals, overheads, and then, so when you sit down to mix, now you've got, and I get any acoustic instrument, I use 2 microphones always. 2 ear stereo, you use 2 mics. That's what makes it live and really good. So you'll end up, a keyboard, I'll take it in stereo because they have stereo outputs on a keyboard. Grand piano, we use 4 mics, 2 high up in a room, 2 close. So you end up with a lot of tracks. And then when it's all said and done, the final thing you do is the vocal. You get a final vocal that they can hear all the stuff in their headphones. Now you've got a lot of tracks. So you sit down and you mix it. To bring 15, 16, 17, 18 tracks down to 2, you got to really know what you're doing. You get a great drum sound, perfect drum sound. The kick drum really hits you. Now you bring in the bass guitar and it ruins the drum sound. So now you got to redo the kick and you got to redo the bass so they sound good. Okay, now you have a great sound. Now you bring in the guitar. Maybe it's a low-end guitar. Ruins it again. So this is where an engineer really has to know what they're doing. And this is not the kind of thing you can fix in the box with electronics. This is, you've got to know what you're doing to bring it together and make it happen.
So you guys aren't using computerized boards or it's a mixed stuff?
No, we still mix all analog. I've got a brand new board on order right now that's coming in. It's a Trident. And we used to have a Trident. We really screwed up. We went to Pro Tools and added a Control 24 board, and it was a big mistake. We're going back to our Trident. I got a brand new Trident being constructed for me right now, and it's coming in. We do analog. We record through tubes, and it really works.
And you're recording this in real time and analog?
Yes, yes. Everything is real time. I don't do anything out of the box, and I don't use fix it in the mix type stuff. You go in the studio, you emote, you get it right, you make it perfect.
Is she making you crazy over there and want me to move her?
No, I love her.
Okay,
I love
all
her.
Right.
She's my, this little she's a great little doggy. I think she likes me.
She does like
me. Last time she fell asleep on my feet.
It looks like she's going to do it again.
No, that's okay. That's
our
okay.
Director of security, the sheepdog, Alfie. Yeah. Sorry.
So last time you said you wanted to talk about, you know, tell some stories. So one of the things that interests me is, I've known some artistic people, and they can be kind of high-strung and a pain in the butt to deal with, you know, in, you know, whatever capacities. So how do you handle these, let's call them sensitive artist types who may be high-strung, ultra-sensitive? Do you treat, and also let me add another question in there just to confuse you. Do you treat individual solo artists in any big different way than you would address or deal with a band of people? So basically, how do you, achieve a rapport with these people, trust?
You have to become part of the band. When we hire a new intern or a new engineer, the first thing I tell them is your main job is you're a psychiatrist. You want the people that come in, if they're not experienced, and even if they are, they're nervous. And they're on the other side of that window, and they're looking through hoping that they sound good enough. They know you've been around, you're experienced. So you need to put them at ease and say, yes, you're doing a good job, and we're glad you're here. You need to become part of the band. You really do. And we do.
And you also have to be honest with them, as if they're making mistakes. You've got to point that out.
Yeah, right? I've seen people.
What are some common mistakes people make?
Well, sometimes people aren't ready yet. If you're not ready, what I do is I sit them down and say, look, you're not ready. You need to learn it a little better. I sent one guy home for vocal. I said, give vocal lessons. Before, you're wasting your money. I don't want to take your money. Go get vocal lessons. Come back. And he did, and it worked. So wow. We've always been honest. It's not, to us, it's not about the money. It's about turning out really good music. And I'm proud of what we've done in the last 47 years.
What do you think the early engineers, you know, said to Bob Dylan? Because you mentioned getting vocal lessons. I mean, you know, here's a guy who can't sing really very well. I like him a lot.
I agree.
I like him a lot. But, you know, here's somebody who's extremely successful. And, you know, what would you do if somebody like that came in the studio? I mean...
We've had people like that. As long as they're singing on key, it's fine. If they're singing on key and they've got a message that they want to get out to the world, it's fine. You go for it, because who knows what's going to be the next thing that everybody's going to love.
Yeah. It's amazing how many songs out there, I can think of a couple of examples right now, where the vocalist is really obviously singing out of his or her range. They're really trying to hit notes in there like a half step from hitting that highest note. Blame It on the Bossa Nova by Edie Gourmet is one example. Yeah. She's clearly singing out of her range. What would you do in a case like that?
We've had situations like that. We haven't changed the key. It's not your key.
Just transpose it downwards.
We're
going
to bring
it
down. Yeah, it's very simple to do, and we do that. It's really our job as a producer to make sure they do the best job they can possibly do. Now, in answer to the first part of your question, over my 47 years down there, there were three times when I sent bands out and said, don't come back. It was obvious that there was nothing in the world we could do to make them happy. So I didn't get nasty. I just said, obviously, this isn't going to work. We can't help you. And that
was it.
What
sort of things were going on? What was going down?
Well, we had one guy in. He was a cult leader type. He was really strange. And all the people in his group and all the people that followed him, they were like owned by him. And he was nasty to everybody, nasty to us. So at one point I said, I've had it. This is it. You're out of here, and I don't want you to come back. One of the girls from his group called me the next day and said, David, thank you so much. He needed to be told off.
Great.
So did he come back after that?
No. No.
Love these stories. I eat this stuff up.
Out of all the hundreds and hundreds of people we've recorded in 47 years, there's only been three. There's only been three. Yeah. And it's like, why bother? I mean, actually, one of them was a woman was in. And David, of course, was one of the top drummers in the whole world. I used him forever. He was Julian Iglesias' drummer. We were really good friends. So we had this session going on with all top musicians. And David said, can I see you a minute? He gets to me alone. He says, I think there's something wrong here. I think she's trying to screw all of us. I said, I think you're right. So I went to my assistant engineer, Clay, and I said, Clay, take the section of tape that we're working on with her right now and cut it and put it on a separate, it was 2-inch tape, put it on a separate reel. I said, are you sure? I said, yeah. So I took that tape and I handed it to her. I said, Kathy, you're done, out of here.
Here's your tape.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I gave her the tape.
Dave Casperson is our guest here on the Time Out Radio Show of Dynamic Recording.
Love these train wreck slash meltdown stories. Continue if you've got any more. That's what we're here to do today.
I've got one I think is kind of cute. You'll get a kick out of. I know you know Al St. John. Albert St. John, the leader of the Trinidad and Tobago Steel Band. I've just finished his 9th album, and we're working on the 10th. So one night he was in, and it's okay for me to use the name because we're really good friends, Bonnie Abrams, who sings the backgrounds to the Hallelujahs and everything on our Hallelujahs that we just put out. She was in doing her 3rd album, and I was the producer. And it was an album called Wine, Woman, and Song. So she comes in with Albert St. John. She hired Albert to work on it, and it was a song she had written about the oil problems. They've got us over a barrel. And I said, Bonnie, that won't work in this album. We can't put that in there. And she got furious with me, and we started arguing. So Alfred left. And the next morning, Alfred calls me on the phone. He says, hey, man, he said, I just want to make sure that you're still okay. I says, thanks, pal. Thanks for leaving me alone. And Bonnie and I are still friends. I've done 2 more albums for her since then, and she just did the Hallelujah for us. But guess what? She got her way. It's in the album.
There you go. All right. So, Dave Casperson, do you have any stories where you encounter somebody who's brand new in their career, they're just launching, maybe they're young people, probably typically young people, and then you kind of like follow their career and you worked with them over a long period of time and saw them mature, and you got to take part in that process?
Yeah, actually, all the artists that I've done from day one have stayed with me all these years. In fact, some of them, their grandchildren have come in and recorded with us, and if I live long enough, maybe their great-grandchildren will be in. They all felt comfortable and liked Dynamic, and some of them have gone on and done really well. Peggy Dolan's another one. Peggy's got 5 albums out, and she's done real well. She's still performing all over the place. Bonnie Abrams is still performing. She's got 5 or 6 albums out. She's talking about coming in and doing another one right now. Yes, there's been a lot. We've stayed good friends. There was a girl, Bonnie, who makes
these. You also worked with Mitzi Collins, right?
Yes, Mitzi Collins. I did almost all the stuff in her catalog. Mitzi and I are old friends. We did a lot of work together. There was a Cherokee Indian woman who came in, Bonnie Makepeace, who is still performing. She's in Texas and still going on. And I did her 1st album for her. And Omar Farak Tekbalek, the Sultans, I did their 1st album, and he's still performing. He's got over 18 albums out now, and he's a big star in the Middle East.
Why don't we throw out your contact information? You give it out in case anybody's looking to record an album. Talk to Dave. Go ahead.
Well, you call up. We are 585-621-6270. You ask for Dynamic Dave, you'll get to talk to me. We are Dynamic Recording in Greece, New York, 2844 Dewey Avenue.
Same place you've always been.
And you can see it. Yes, same place. And you can see everything about us at dynamicrecording.com.
Great. I'm sure you've got a whole bunch of stories, but do you want to, what's the word I'm thinking of, entertain me and talk about the Smugtown Stompers at all? Another local group.
The Smugtown Stompers, I did their only CD, and that's quite a few years ago now. And it's a good CD. They're a good band. The leader, Dave Sturmer, is a great guy, fun to work with, really nice guy. And the star of their band, and she just passed away about a year ago now, is Carol Mulligan. Carol Mulligan is a fabulous singer. I've done albums for Carol. We've hired her to do a lot of stuff over the years, backgrounds and things with us. But when she got up on stage with the Smugtown Stompers, she brought the house down. She was amazing. And they're a good band. They were a very good band. Very unique. I don't think there's another band like them in Rochester, really.
Thinking about weird vocalists, too, and then you talk about Dixieland Jazz. I'm sure you've heard some of the stuff recorded by Shel Silverstein.
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't really – he's got an unusual voice, but it works. Like you say, he sings on key and, you know.
Well, one of the things I tell people if they're struggling with singing, as long as you're on key – I point out, like you were saying, Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's not a great singer. It's his emotions. It's the words that he writes. Joe Cocker's another one. He's not a good singer, but when you listen to You Are So Beautiful to Me, it's like, wow, it doesn't matter that he's not a great singer. Mm-hmm. And there's many more that you can mention like that. As long as you emote, you put your feelings into what you're doing. That's the important thing.
Yeah. What do you think the vocal coach told you, the guy who you recommended go get vocal lessons? What do they tell you? What do they teach you? Breathing? How to emote?
I've never been into that type of stuff. In fact, I probably would have been a better singer when I was in my own band if I would have taken vocal lessons. But there's a whole thing about how to breathe and sing from your gut, and there's a lot to it, which I don't know.
Intonation, too, is right. Important.
Yeah.
What else you got for us today, Dave?
Well,
can I ask him a question?
On any new projects? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Just turn back the hands of time kind of question. So The Tempest, 1960, first recording studio, first recording effort by you. You're in this band. What was that experience like in the studio as opposed to laying down, a song today?
This is interesting. I just finished reading Al Schmidt's book that he wrote, the Man Behind the Music. And Al started back when we only had one track, and that's what I started when I, after we recorded at Lifetime, I went to work there for Les Hobbs Band that owned it. We had no EQ, we had no compressors, we had one mono track, so the band had to get it right, the engineer had to get it right, and to get it right, you had to place microphones. I would highly recommend anybody that wants to learn about this business to buy Al Schmidt's book. It's fabulous, it really is, and he describes you place microphones, and that's what he did throughout his whole career. That's what I still do. Real recording is not done by fixing things.
So in this environment, let's say, the engineer is listening. He says, we need more bass. What do? It's just move the microphone. Is that right?
That's what Al Schmidt did. And again, it depends on if you're recording an upright bass, acoustic bass.
Sure.
Then yeah, you're going to move microphones. And I'll always use two, and that's what we do. Again, the stereo effect. Now, most basses have come in, though, they want to go through an amplifier. So now an amplifier is mono. But I still record them with two mics. I put one mic close, cardioid, dynamic mic, and then one mic condenser, omni, a little bit further away. Now I've got two tracks that I can play with and do what I want to do on it. A lot of bass players prefer to go direct. When they go direct, I still record them with a mic at the same time. So we've got two ways to play around with it again.
Yeah, so like you were talking about the kick drum before, in case the microphone gets turned and you end up with a boop. Instead of a nice kick sound, then you've got something to back.
The way we record kick, the mic doesn't get turned. The microphone is inside the kick.
Yeah.
Right behind the beater. So you get.
But if it accidentally gets turned, then you got nothing to work with, then at least you've got a backup because you probably recorded with two microphones, correct?
Yeah. We over mic a lot, and then you've got choices to make, yeah.
We're down to 2 minutes, Dave. Dynamic Dave Kasperson.
Only two.
Just one quick follow up. So the Tempest, how many takes was it for you to get what you wanted?
It took us 4 hours. We didn't keep track of the takes, but it took 4 hours. It was our first time in ever. We were very nervous. And what would happen is the bass player would blow a couple of notes. I'd blow a couple of notes. The singer would forget a word again and again and again until we finally got it right. Yeah, it's not easy.
Wow. Interesting. Well, what do you want to tell us in the last minute and a half here, Dave?
I love being here. I love you, Jeff Miller. I love you, Bob.
Hey. Oh, thanks.
We love you
too. You guys
are
great, and I love the doggy. I want to take the doggy home with me.
She says, what's the food like at your house?
Well, we've always had dogs. In fact, our dogs came to work every day just like yours.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what they love. Yeah. Nothing happier than a dog with a job.
What are the you showed us some of the ongoing projects. What's on the horizon for the future for you? We're coming up to winter time. Is that a good time for you or a slow time?
I don't think there are slow times. And there's a lot going on right now. Amy's Wish has got we've only got three complete. So we've still got the other 14 to do that. It overdubs to be done yet and mixing and everything. And Al St. John is in working on his 10th album right now.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, tell him I said hi. I used to work with him at Kodak. Fifth floor of building 23, I believe it was.
He'll be listening to this, so you just say hi to him.
Hey, Al. Remember Len Bearcree, your boss? What a nut. They don't make him like that anymore. Okay.
You'll love it.
How are we doing on time over there?
You got another minute if there's one more lingering question you want to toss it.
Let me look at my questions here. Let me see. Well, yeah, sure. This is an easy one. If you could start over, what would you do differently? I'm kidding. It's probably a long answer to that, but
I wouldn't do anything differently. I've had a wonderful life, and I've loved every minute of it. And I still firmly believe analog is the best way to go.
There you go. It's real sound.
Yes.
It's not a digital picture of sound. It's great. A real thing.
Well, thanks for being our guest today,
Thank you, Dave. Guys. It's always fun coming down
here. Oh, boy. It's just a thrill to have you here, Dave.
Yeah, so we got him coming back in April at some point. So stay tuned to the station. We'll be back on the other side of the break to do the Comparoscope right there, Superstar.
Absolutely. The Time Out Radio Show. Thanks for being part of it.
Exciting news! The all-new Victor Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is now open at their beautiful new location, 6484 Route 96. Shop grand opening badges like the 2022 Ram 1500 Classic Warlock Quad Cab 4x4 pickup in diamond black crystal pearl coat, just $369 a month for 39 months. Must be conquest of returning lessee. The 22 Jeep Compass Latitude 4x4 is just $299 a month for 36 months wearing billet silver metallic clear coat. Must have conquest of returning lessee. Or the 2022 Jeep Renegade Sport Utility, only $289 a month for 36 months in Alpine White Clear Coat. Must be conquest of returning lessee. $2,500 cash or trade, first payment, DMV, taxes and fees due at signing. Other conditions may apply. See dealer for details. There's a great selection of the best used vehicles, too. Come check us out. We're here to fully serve Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram customers in Victor, Canandaigua, Macedon, Fairport, and Finger Lakes. Stop by their brand new showroom and say hello. Victor Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, now 6484 Route 96, just east of Victor.
Geneseo Hardware and Rental has all your project needs. They have a large selection of hardware, plumbing, electrical, home goods, lawn and garden, plus much more. Geneseo Hardware offers Valspar paint, Cabot stains, a wide selection of rental items, plus screen and window repair. Get personalized service. Open 7 days a week. Geneseo Hardware and Rental, Route 20A next to Wegmans Plaza. Visit geneseo-rental.com.
Now offering lumber.
Tom Walls didn't invent the cheeseburger. We perfected it. Fresh ground steak pressed out daily using a glass pie plate. I'm Michaela from Tom Walls Avon, and I want to cook you the best cheeseburger in Rochester. Wait, best in the world. Wait, the universe.
Tom Walls.
The WYSL store has great items, including Time Out Radio Show t-shirts. These are high-quality cotton t-shirts and printed locally. Visit WYSL1040.com and click on the store link.
Time Out Radio Show on the WYSL stations.
And it's time for, geez, I forget what time it is. What time is it over there?
Oh, you've forgotten? Oh, okay. All right, let me help you out here.
It's another WYSL Time Out Comparoscope.
And for the new listeners in the audience, that is a side-by-side comparison of an original or early song recording and a popular cover of the same song. Today we're featuring Stir It Up, written by Bob Marley. No, you thought it was Johnny Nash? No, it was Bob Marley. I wrote it in 1967, first recorded by the group Bob Marley and the Wailers that year, and it was issued as a single. It was later covered by American singer Johnny Nash on his 1972 album I Can See Clearly Now. The band performed Stir It Up on the Old Grey Whistle Test in 1973 during their first trip to the UK, singing live over a Chris Blackwell overdubbed backing track. Why don't we listen to that original?
I got you.
So believe it or not, that's the original from 1968, Bob Marley and the Wailers. Now we're going to listen to a cover by Johnny Nash, came out in 1973. John Lester Nash, born in 1940, passed in 2020, was an American singer-songwriter best known in the United States for his 1972 hit, I Can See Clearly Now. So he's, let's see here. He was one of the first non-Jamaican artists to record reggae music in Kingston, Jamaica. This is Johnny Nash with Stir It Up from 1973.
Stir it up, little darling, stir it up. Oh, yeah, yeah, stir it up.
That's a 1973 cover, and since we have the maestro in the studio today, before we do, we got a triple header for you today on the Comparascope, but let's ask Dave, so far, what do you think of the production of those two, real quick?
The first one was the best. The second one has got too much of a click type thing in it, and the flute or whatever they're playing is too loud over the voices. It shouldn't be in there.
Wow, love it. So let's get right into our final version. This is Bob Marley, and I obviously, if you've been listening, Bob Marley was influenced by Johnny Nash, and the 1973 re-recorded version by Bob Marley sounds a lot like Johnny Nash's cover. Go ahead. From 1973, and as I mentioned earlier, you got to go out to the Tube of You and look up Old Gray Whistle Test Stirred Up. It's kind of funny. It's like they look kind of stoned. I'm not sure.
No.
But they kind of do.
That doesn't happen.
So, Dave, we got a new feature on the show as of the last month or so. It's called Rate a Record. I think Dick Clark had copyright on it, but we're stomping all over that. We don't care. So, out of those three, which one do you prefer?
The first. Now, this last one, it's too slow, and the bass is too loud. And again, it's got the clicky sound in the back. I don't believe in click tracks, and that's what it sounds like, is they were using a click track.
Oh, wow. Very good. Well, I really appreciate your input there.
A professional opinion.
And thanks again for being part of the Time Out Radio
Thank
Show.
You guys.
Dave and listeners.
Let's give them the contact information one more
contact
time.
Contact information for Dynamic Recording Studio. Go ahead, Dave.
2844 Dewey Avenue. 585-621-6270. DynamicRecording.com.
And I don't think we mentioned, this is show number 124, and that's it. We'll see you next week. We're going to bump out with some, Phil Collins working out on the skins and Tony Banks going crazy on the keyboards there from 1976. We'll see ya.
Time Out on the WYSL stations is brought to you by Victor Chevrolet and Victor Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.